sermons.
Welcome.
Welcome, Cheryl. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You brought a special guest tonight.
Yes, I did.
Would you like to introduce her?
Well, to start off with, I'd like to say this. I brought two special guests with me tonight.
Okay.
One of them is my sweet wife over
yes.
here. I brought her with me. She's my sweetheart. And then I brought this precious little girl from Hobbs, New Mexico, and her name is Bailey Waldrop.
Uh-huh.
Now, Bailey is a precious daughter of the King.
Amen.
And this little gal has got a tremendous testimony to tell you about what God did in her life. And we're going to talk about that tonight.
Good.
You're welcome, Bailey.
Thank you for coming to share your testimony.
So, Thurman, so what's going on new? You're here doing some recording, mm-hmm. and you apparently, we've got Hobbs Night, although there's one gentleman from Carlsbad,
yeah,
but it's Hobbs Night here
Carlsbad.
in GLC. What's going on today?
Well, I guess, well, of course, first of all, you know, we came out here this morning and made television shows. We made six today. We didn't get here till about noon, 11:30 or something like this. So, but we made six 30-minute shows today, and I might say that this series that I'm teaching is such an offensive thing to so many people.
Oh.
Offensive?
Offensive.
Why is it offensive?
Because I am confirming.
You call people names?
Yeah, I'm calling people names.
Like unbeliever and doubter.
What I am doing, this series, which is probably going to take 8 or 10 at least shows, I am confirming in 8 or 10 30-minute television shows from the Word of God, this God that we serve, that we think is this loving, sweet God that sits in heaven, that would never hurt us or never harm us, and certainly wouldn't kill us or our children.
Mm-hmm.
I am confirming from His Word that sin and sickness go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just taking one show to do this. I am using hundreds of scriptures.
Wow.
Hundreds of places in God's Word where He says what He will do, where He says if we walk holy and are diligent and obey His Word over and over and over, even under the law, He says, I, God, will take all sickness away from you.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you really begin to get that in your spirit, you begin to think, now, okay, God, if you say I will obey you in everything, then you will take all sickness away from me and my children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people say He doesn't mean what He says. But He does mean what He says.
Yes, He does.
He means exactly what He says. And people don't want to hear this. You know, when we have people call the minister center all the time, and we've learned that to confront their issue to start off with, we want to find out what the sin is. If they're sick, they're not obeying God. Now then, I mean, you take the normal Christian. I don't care if it's Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, whatever. You tell them they're sick because of sin, and they get offended.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear this. I mean, my grandmother's sick.
She
was the greatest woman I ever saw in my life. I mean, that was the most holy woman ever.
And yeah.
In fact, I will tell you, this woman, Norma Garcia, down in Manny, Louisiana a few years ago, this woman had been in and out of hospitals all of her life. Now, she's a mother and a grandmother. And when she came to the meeting, she had Parkinson's.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And lupus. I mean, shook like that, Jeff. Just, and at the meeting that day, I taught that if you have a problem, you've got a sin. And I talked about many different kinds of sins, many. Well, when I got to the unforgiveness sin, she realized, I said, now some people hold unforgiveness towards somebody. And I said, especially if it's a woman and she was abused by her father, she won't want anybody to ever know about that, so she'll never tell anybody about that. But I said, that woman will hold a hatred in her heart forever against her daddy. And I said, this woman will be in and out of hospitals because demons have been sent to her according to God's Word in Matthew 18:21 through 35. And 21 through 35, I said, and those demons are killing that woman's body, and she's being sick and afflicted. And I said, she'll be in and out of hospitals with surgeries and everything else, and she'll die early and never know why. Well, when I told that story, Norma Garcia said, my gosh, that's me. My daddy abused me as a child. I ain't never told nobody, but I've hated him all my life. I've been in and out of hospitals. I've been in surgeries. Here I am with Parkinson's and lupus. And otherwise, she'd been the best grandmother, the best mother. She carried her babies to church. She carried
her. An otherwise godly woman.
She was a godly woman. And if I had have told her children, if I'd have walked up and said, Jeff, that's your mother right there, and I'm going to tell you the reason she's sick, she's a sinner, they would have punched me out.
You got a lot of friends, don't you?
But that night, Norma Garcia knew the truth.
Uh-huh.
And she received that truth and repented before God and told him how sorry she was that she had held that grudge against her daddy for all those bad things he had done to her. And she forgave him, and she promised God, I will never hold a grudge against my daddy again. Well, when I give the invitation for people to come up, she come running down the aisle, shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, as she's coming down, I said, ma'am, what's wrong with you? She said, I have Parkinson's and lupus. Now, she's already repented. She has been a good mother, a good grandmother. God wanted to heal this lovely woman, but he couldn't because of her sin. He had bound himself with his word.
Can I interrupt for just a second? Now, I'm not real good with the Bible, but I don't remember in the Ten Commandments anywhere where unforgiveness is a sin. Is correct me.
Yeah. Well, that's not in the Ten Commandments. That's right. But it is in many other places in God's Word. I mean, many. And of course, when you come to the New Testament, that's where it's really the greatest. I mean, all over the place.
Kind of like the Lord's Prayer, as we forgive those.
Right.
Is that what that means?
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay.
And of course, in Mark 11, 23 and 24, two of the greatest promises God ever gave us. I mean, literally give us no limitations to what we could ask for if we ask in faith. I mean, he says you can even speak to a mountain. And if you don't doubt in your heart, the mountain will obey you.
Hmm.
You know? So he said, therefore, whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, you will have it. I mean,
wow.
Isn't that an awesome promise?
That's
you can get rid of your glasses.
That's huge.
Yeah. And people in our church that have done that.
Gotten rid
and
of
I,
glasses.
I quit using reading glasses by quoting that from learning that from him.
Yeah. Oh. It's amazing what we get for God. But then after verse 24, of course, 24 is the verse I used to get my granddaughter's throat healed. Whenever she was in the wreck and had the little flapper valve broke,
mm-hmm.
I used Mark 11, 24, but it took me 10 months to get it right. 10 months I fought that battle over that valve before. God would not, I don't care who you are, he will not yield on his word. You have to do it exactly the way he says. And I didn't. And for 10 months, it wouldn't work until I finally did it in real faith. And that day, he healed my granddaughter's throat. And she'd been been just swallowing and eating normal ever since.
Mm.
But she couldn't until that day. But right after those two great and awesome promises, he said, but when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, because if you do not forgive them, neither will I forgive you your sins.
Confronting the Father, right?
Wow. Now, what would you do someday if you get to heaven and you held a grudge against somebody all your life? Not only did it bring demons into your life and make you sick and afflict you like Norma Garcia had all those years, but what if you died and went to heaven and God said, oh, I'm sorry, you can't come in?
That would be a sad movie.
That would be a sad move. That would be very sad. So somebody says, I don't think you're right. Well, I may not be, but I ain't going to give him that opportunity. You know, I'm going to walk in love. But anyway, that night when Norma Garcia come down the aisle, she had already repented of her sins. Now, see, God wanted to heal her because she's a good Christian woman. But he couldn't until she got rid of the sin.
The unforgiveness. Yeah.
And so she'd done that back there to seat. And so she come down. I laid my hand on her shoulder right there. I said, in the name of Jesus. And that's all I got out. And she was instantly healed of everything.
That allowed her to let go of that.
That's right.
Wow.
See, he wanted to heal her all the time because she had been a wonderful
Christian mother, a wonderful Christian grandmother, a woman that walked with God. But he couldn't heal her because his word, he had bound himself to his word. If you hold an unforgiveness toward anyone in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, I, God, will send a tormenting spirit to torment you until you forgive. Mm. And she never had forgiven.
Now, I was reading about a lot of victims of incest in particular, especially with family members. When they're young, they repress these memories and they don't even realize they happen. Yet they're older people, like this one particular story, this one woman, a Christian woman, and when this one individual finally died away, everybody at the funeral was all sad and everything. But she was just up there looking at that guy in the casket, and she could not figure out why, but she hated the dude, you know, and she couldn't remember because this incident had happened 70 years before when she was a small child, and she couldn't figure it out. What does somebody do like that? There's something wrong, and they can't figure out how come they hate somebody because they've repressed that memory. What does the Lord do for them then?
Here's the thing. That story right there is just exactly like this couple in Oregon. A couple of years ago, they called us. They had a 6.5-year-old daughter, and she was afflicted with eczema all over her body. Mm-hmm. And they said, we heard your Caitlin miracle story, and if God healed Caitlin, he'll heal our baby. So he said, we want you to pray. I said, honey, it's not that simple. I said, we got a sin in your life. I said, if your daughter was born this way, your child was born under a curse because of you and your husband's sins. Well, they didn't want to hear that either. Mm-hmm. We go to church. We believe God. I said, but you had a sin. Well, I told them, let me send you some teachings. I sent them some CDs and DVDs.
Yeah.
They listened to them for several months, and they heard several sins, and they repented of all sins known and unknown. And they prayed, and we prayed, and nothing happened to the little girl.
Hmm.
I told them, I said, we haven't hit the sin yet. We've got to keep on trying to find the sin. I said, the minute we find the sin, God guarantees to heal. And so we went through this for a year and a half. Finally, the mother, I talked to her and I told her, I said, honey, we have a sin that you and your husband got to find. I said, now, I don't have time to go to God for everybody's sin, but I said, you're going to have to get on your face before God and ask him what the sin is. Mm-hmm. And when you do, if you diligently seek him, he will talk to you. So they began to pursue him. And it wasn't long till the mother got up on the bed one morning. And she said, as I sat up on the side of the bed, I heard this just as clear, lying and deception. She said, I knew. Now, see, this is a case, if they hadn't went to prayer, they would have never learned this.
Yeah.
This little girl would have been sick all of her life. But when they pursued God, he always wants to do these things. He wants to talk to you. He wants to get you healed. He does not want you to be sick, but he wants you to repent of the sin. Well, they couldn't hear his voice until they diligently pursued him. When they diligently pursued him, then he spoke to her, and those two words is all she heard. Well, the minute she heard those words, she said, oh my goodness, I know what I've done wrong. She said, when I was 39 years old and my husband was 43 years old, I went to him and told him, honey, my biological clock is ticking, and I want to have one more child before I get too old to have babies. He says, no, I am 43 years old, and if it takes us a year or two for you to get pregnant, I don't want to be 45 and have a brand new baby and then be 60 and have a teenager in high school. He said, no, no more children. Well, she deceived her husband and lied to her husband, telling him she was doing everything she could to keep from getting pregnant, when in reality, she was doing everything she could to get pregnant.
Wow.
And so she lied and deceived her husband. Well, she got pregnant. And then when she got pregnant, she said, oh, isn't this wonderful, honey? It must be God's will for us to have another child. You see, isn't it amazing how we put everything on God? Mm-hmm. You know, and so here they had this little girl was born with eczema. And she had scratched and clawed and had all these problems. And I have 9 pictures of this little girl when she had this scratching and clawing problem with all the oozing, running sores all over her body.
Yeah.
Then I have 4 after Mama repented to God. He forgave her. 1 John 1:9, he promises to forgive. Isn't he an awesome God, Tommy?
Absolutely.
He forgave her. Then she went to her husband and asked him to forgive her. And of course, he said, honey, I love our little girl. I mean, I didn't really want another child, but now that we have her, I wouldn't take a million for her. Mm-hmm. I love her, but I don't want her sick. So he forgave her. We prayed a new prayer, and in 2 weeks, that little girl took on a brand new coat of skin from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet without a scar on her body.
Wow. Hallelujah. That is...
Yeah. Her whole neck was just...
every crease in her body.
Scratching like that all the time. Yeah.
See, now, this is the God that we serve. When he says, I am the God that forgives all of your iniquities, and then I heal all of your diseases. Now, see, that's...
That was an if-then statement right there. You do that, then I will.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. It's in Psalms 103. You know, he says it. But many places he says that. But anytime you take somebody... You know, like this precious little girl sitting here beside me tonight.
This woman of God.
This young woman of God. You know, I just want to touch her. She's so precious to me now. I mean, a few weeks ago, I didn't even know this young lady. But her mom and dad had heard about our ministry, and this little girl was sick. I mean, she was really sick. And she was brought to me and Cheryl at Brenham, Texas. I think it was in February.
February.
Yeah. And... God, in fact, to tell you how diligent her and her mom and dad are. They drove from Hobbs, New Mexico to Brenham, Texas. Now, how many hours did it take y'all to drive down there, honey?
About a 10-hour drive.
A 10-hour drive. Now, that's diligence.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a Southern Baptist, you know, and come into a healing ministry. That's something the Southern Baptists don't do. Yeah. You know, I know I was one for 65 years, so I can laugh at us. Because I was one. There's not a whole lot of people been a Southern Baptist longer than I've been a Southern Baptist. But it's wonderful that when God says to them that diligently seek me. First of all, he says to those when you come to me, he said, you must believe that I am and that I am a rewarder of them who diligently seek me. Mm-hmm. Well, this precious little girl and her mom and dad are from Hobbs, New Mexico, and they heard about our ministry and they came to Brenham, Texas to bring their daughter. And we had a healing school that started at 1 o'clock that afternoon. And I usually teach 4 or 5 hours at a healing school. Yeah, that's normal. You've never seen such a long-winded preacher, have you?
No.
And she's honest,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
she was there.
She's very honest.
And I think that's true. You know, there's not a lot of men teach for 4 or 5 hours. There's a few, but not a lot. But I am one of those, you know, that do that. And of course, they sat there through that whole thing, her mom, her dad, and her little brother. I think he was with you, wasn't he?
He stayed at home.
Oh, he stayed at home.
Yes.
Okay, so you were there and your mom and dad. I remember those. And y'all were all there. And then when the service was over about 5 or 5:30 in the afternoon, I had a lot of people to pray for. The church was full. They stayed till 10:30 at night.
Wow.
To be prayed for. That's diligence.
That is.
I mean, the average Christian, I ain't even going to say Southern Baptist.
Right.
Because when I was a Southern Baptist, we went to church, and the church is over at 12 o'clock, and 5 minutes after 12, we all gone home. There ain't nobody stays around to pray for nobody. I mean, that was my 65 years in a Baptist church. We didn't never stay and talk and pray for people like we do. I mean, we pray for hours. You know, I mean, every Sunday, our church, we'll pray for people for 2 hours after the service is over.
Wow. You know, and I think that's an American trait there, actually. I mean, if we could hurry this up, I do have an appointment in about 5 minutes.
There you go. Yeah, that's us. Yeah. That's the way we are. You know, the football game, Thurman, it starts at 12. Don't you dare go past 11:45. I got to have time to get home to see the football kickoff.
So you had a 10, 12-hour day here praying for people.
Oh, yeah.
And they were last?
Yeah, they were the very last ones. In fact, later on tonight, we're going to talk to her mom and dad. But her dad and me, he was a deacon in a Southern Baptist church. Of course, I'd been a deacon in a Baptist church. And when I said, you know, here's one Baptist, you know, one Southern Baptist and another Southern Baptist, and we come to a healing school expecting to get our daughter healed. We both had a big laugh over that, you know. But I want Bailey to tell us a little bit about her life. what it's like to be raised up in a godly Christian home. Tell us, Bailey, a little bit about your life.
Well, my parents both have grown up in Christian homes and are very strong Christians. Like you said, my dad's a Baptist deacon and my mom's a Sunday school teacher. So I've always known who God was and what was expected of me. And, more so out of fear of what would happen if I didn't obey them. But as I got older...
He's the Lord.
Yes. As I got older, I learned about who God was and what He wanted for my life and mm-hmm. how He had a plan for my life and that He just was there and that He was going to take care of me.
You were just a normal, healthy girl, wasn't
yes,
you?
Yes.
I mean, you were very active in sports.
Yes.
And you was a cheerleader or something?
And golf.
And golf.
Very active in church.
And all these things.
Yes.
And is it wonderful to be well?
Oh, it's so great.
See, I mean, but you loved it then too, didn't you?
Yes.
And you go along there all these years, loving God, having a great family, a great mom and dad that taught you things. And I loved what you said about the fear. See, God says them that fear Him, that's the beginning of wisdom. Because God is a loving God, and He wants to do good things for His children, but He'll hurt us if we don't. Now, your mom and dad loved you?
Yes.
Did you ever get a spanking?
Yes.
Oh, Daddy would never have spanked you. Yes, He did, didn't
he? Yes, He did.
But see, He knew He had to, didn't He? Mm-hmm. Because if He hadn't of, God says in the Word, if He doesn't chasten you, if a daddy doesn't chasten his children, he don't love his children. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And today there's too many of those children out there that have no mom and dad to love them and chasten them. And so they go out and do all these stupid things. Now, because they go do all these stupid things, that's why we had the problem with you.
Yes.
See, now, there is... I think Bailey was getting ready to go somewhere out of the country. Where were
yes,
you?
Yes, Peru, on a mission trip.
On a mission
on
trip?
On a mission
yes,
trip.
Yes,
yeah. She was going to go to Peru on a mission trip. And who all was going on that trip?
It was a focus on the family. And so it was just
okay.
a large group of girls and
okay.
some guys went, but...
Okay. So y'all were going on a mission trip out of the country and they required you to have certain immunizations.
Yes.
And so y'all went down to take them.
Yes.
Yeah. And while you were there with the doctor or whatever, the doctor recommended that you take this, how'd you say that? Gardasil shot.
Vaccine.
Tell us a little bit about this shot. What's it supposed to do?
Well, it's made to protect you against HPV and cervical cancer, which those diseases come from sexual promiscuity. And it's a series of 3 shots, and you get them in 3 months. So I got 1 in May, 1 in July, and 1 in August.
And what happened to the second one?
After the second one, I began to have really bad dizzy spells. Actually, when I was on my mission trip, I was in the middle of just worship, and I just got extremely dizzy, and I had to leave. And that just continued on and on. And it just was really bad. I just felt like I was going to pass out.
And then you got back from the mission trip.
Yes, I got back from the mission trip, and the dizzy spells still went on. And
did you tell your mom about this at that time, the dizzy spells, or was this like just something, I'm kind of dizzy and I don't know what it is? Stood up too fast?
Yeah, we just blew it off. We didn't really think it was a big deal, and we weren't going to go to the doctor because we didn't want to have to go through tests and things. And so we just kind of thought, oh, it's nothing, being mm-hmm. in a different country and something like that. I even talked to the nurse about it in Peru, and she told me that other people were experiencing it, and so it probably wasn't a big deal.
And so you came back, and a few months later, you had this third booster shot for
yes,
this.
Yes, yes. And after that, things got really bad. It was a week later that I woke up with a really bad headache. And of course, then I just thought it was headaches. And after that, it just proceeded with headaches and stomach aches. And it got worse and worse. And we went to doctor after doctor trying to figure out what was wrong. I had so many symptoms. I had stomach aches and headaches. And I would get, the dizziness was coming back and it was worse. I would have seizures. I was getting to where I was passing out. My blood pressure was dropping to points where I was almost dead. I could go on and on. Body aches, all sorts of things that went wrong with it and they progressed and they got worse and worse.
And you were finally on oxygen?
Yes. At that point, I had to get out of school and I had to get out of cheerleading. And we went through a month of just going to doctor after doctor, trying to figure out what was wrong. They ran blood tests and CT scans and things like that. And everything was coming back normal. And we had no idea what was going, we didn't know what was wrong. And I was watching a commercial for Gardasil, and you know how when they have the commercials, they talk about all the side effects mm-hmm. from the drugs, and so
really fast. Yes, they talk really fast. Really fast. Possible side effects may include.
Yes. Yeah. They don't want you to hear that part. And I was hearing those side effects from Gardasil, and there was a lot like what was happening with me. And so I texted my mom and told her about the commercial, and she did some research about it, and she found out that like 15,000 girls are having side effects from this shot, and about 40 have died. And she read the cases and how they were the shot was manifesting in the girls, and how the symptoms would come on. And I was sounding a lot like that. And we had gone to an emergency room in Lubbock, so about an hour and a half away. And we went to the doctor there, and we were just asking mm-hmm. him what's wrong, you know. And we brought up the possibility of Gardasil, and he told me that he thought I was just having a type of migraine, and he gave me some medicine for that. And we said, well, what about this Gardasil thing? And he just said he'd never seen anybody for it, and but if that had happened, there was no way to stop that course in my body. There was nothing they could do about it. And I remember that night we were leaving the emergency room, and that's when my legs had started to hurt real bad. And I told my mom about it, and she flipped out. I didn't know it was such a big deal that my legs were hurting. And she sat me down in the hotel room. We had gotten a hotel that night, and because we had an appointment with a neurologist the next morning. And she said, you know, I've been reading about these girls and what's been happening to them. And one of the things that happens with the girls is they start out like you are, and the symptom called Guillain-Barré comes on. Mm-hmm. And worst
paralysis.
Yes. And she said, mm-hmm. worst case scenario is that it starts in your legs and it works up to your neck and it kills you in a matter of days. And
in college, my freshman roommate next door, her brother got that from taking a vaccine, and he died with it.
Really?
Watched him die.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Sure. How long did it take for him to?
Less than 2 weeks, he wow. died, because the paralysis, it paralyzes when, you know, back, and this was back in 65, so,
oh, wow.
you know, it was a long time ago when I was in college. And so it paralyzed his windpipe, and when it finally paralyzed his whole body, he died.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what, and mm-hmm. I just read about that because I thought, how interesting. I knew you were going to bring that up.
So you were having these symptoms.
Yes.
You're texting your mom, or I guess you're talking to her.
Yes.
She's wigging out. And so you're probably freaking out at this point,
yes.
too, because your mom's freaking out because she thinks you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, that night was probably the lowest night ever.
Were you scared?
Yes, very
okay.
scared.
Okay, I wanted to get that out.
Yeah. I was terrified.
She wasn't afraid. She was terrified.
Yeah.
Yes. It was hard because it had just started out as headaches and things. And, you know, just we thought maybe it was a virus. It would pass soon. And just hearing the word death come up for the first time was just such a shock. And I laid in bed and I cried and I shook all night. I actually remember going back to the emergency room because I was shaking so bad. We thought I was having some kind of anaphylactic reaction to the medicine he gave me. And so that was a very, very rough night.
Traumatic.
For me. Yes, very traumatic. And it was really cool, though. We were actually watching GLC, and I can't remember what program it was, but scripture came up about hope and hope in God. And for that moment, it gave me peace. And I remember God telling me that I was going to have a wonderful testimony when I came out of it. And that got me through the night.
Wow. Without a great test, mm-hmm. you can't have a great testimony.
That's right.
Mm. And none of us want to go through those tests, do we?
No, you don't.
No, but this precious little girl, she had to go through that thing. Now then, as you begin to come along here with this thing and you're having all these bad side effects, what made you or what made your dad and mother decide to bring you to a healing school? How did this come to pass? Do you know?
Well, we had heard about you and your ministries through different people. And at first, we just kind of blew it off. We're Baptists. we don't do that. And I had started treatment, and it had been about 3 months that I had been sick. And I had dropped out of everything. And it was getting
really... You had to drop out of school and everything.
I was home all the time. My parents couldn't even leave me alone. We were hearing about girls who just fell over dead in the shower. And so I slept in a hyperbaric chamber at night, and I had daily IV treatments, and I was on oxygen, and my immunity was really bad. So if anybody came over, we had to make sure they were clean and didn't have anything wrong with them. And I was just in my bed all the time. And about 3 months into it, a real bad depression had come over me, and it was probably one of the lowest points of my sickness. And it just was really bad. And my dad was just praying, and he was like, God, something's got to happen, because it's bad. We had several people call us, and doctors that had told us that, that you know, you have to start preparing for if your daughter never gets better, because it's just not looking good. And we had heard just things like, I would never be able to have babies, just on and on. I might have permanent brain damage. And so he was praying, and just really seeking God. And 20 minutes later, a guy came into the store where he works, and made a beeline for him as soon as the door opened, and said, I have a word from God from you. And, you know, my dad just kind of was like, okay. And he brought out some scripture, and he showed him some things about Thurman. And he said, you're supposed to go to this guy. And so that week, we talked about it as a family. We prayed about it, and there was no doubt in our mind that that's what God was going to have us do.
Did he know this man that came to see him?
No, he didn't know him.
Just
at
out
all.
Of the
a
clear stranger. Blue, here comes some guy. I got a word
angel.
From you.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it even more interesting.
Yes,
God is so awesome. He wants his babies healed.
Yes, he does.
He does not want us sick and afflicted, and even if he has to send an angel.
Yes.
You know. Who knows who the man was? Mm-hmm. But even if it was an angel, mm-hmm. it makes no difference.
Yes.
God is not beyond that.
No, he's not.
But he wanted this baby healed. Mm-hmm. You know, and he knew her mom and daddy were Southern Baptists. Just like I had been a Southern Baptist all those years.
That's
right. You know, now I could laugh with Brother Waldrop,
uh-huh.
you know, because I was a Southern Baptist. And when God began to speak to me years ago, I began to show me these things. In fact, the first time God spoke to me in 77, and then 2 years later again, 79, and right on up until 86. 86 was the fourth time I'd heard God's audible voice, and I saw my first man, 42 years old, in a Baptist church healed of terminal cancer when the doctor said, there's no hope. When I went to visit him that night, that's when God spoke to me and told me, son, his name was Ed, said, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him. And I remember walking down the aisle after I heard that audible voice saying, God, you didn't hear what she said. She said he has terminal cancer. He's going to die. Now, see, I was a normal Southern Baptist back in those days. Normal, you know. I didn't know God as a healer. I mean, I'd never heard him talked about as a healer in my church, you know. I mean, but most people don't know him like that, and regardless of what church. And so I went home and began to pursue God, and when I found the scripture that he spoke to me, that for this man to do, I was awestruck. And I thought, wow, that's almost what I heard you say. And then, of course, I had a test from the enemy, and now I know God does this too. He finds out whether we love him or not. And so he sent the devil to speak to me to say, you didn't really hear God down there at that hospital. That was just your subconscious mind. You had read that scripture before, and that just happened to come up. That wasn't God. But I didn't go there with him. Now, see, I didn't know the scriptures. Like in Deuteronomy chapter 13, God makes an awesome statement. He says, I send two prophets in Deuteronomy 13, and I give these men power to do signs and wonders, to tell the future. And they do, and what they do comes to pass. What they say happens, and they produce signs and miracles. And then I, God, move on those men's hearts to have them tell you that there was another God did this. He said, I'm testing you to find out if you love me or if you're going to go with this other God. That's all written in Deuteronomy 13.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Huh?
Yeah.
See, yes, it is. And when you get a hold of this and you read this, it will awe strike you to think that God sent two prophets. He ordained them to do miracles and to tell the future, and they did it, and it came to pass. And then he moved on their hearts to test the people. It clearly says, God says, now I'm now testing you to see if you're going to believe me, and I'm the one that done this, or you're going to believe it was another God. And he said, if you believe, they're going to tell you it was another God. It was not me, Jehovah God. And if you believe them, then every one of you that go the other way, you're to stone them till dead. And the two prophets have told you, you're to kill them. That's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This God that is talked about in this Bible, most of us don't know him at all. We don't know him. We don't know what he will do and what he won't do. But when you get a hold of these tests, these trials, like this precious little girl, he put a test on her and her mom and daddy to bring them to a new realm of faith.
Yes.
And you're saying this happens to all of us.
Oh, sure. He tests us all. Mm-hmm. I mean, one way or another. Now, he may not use the same thing he did on Bailey and her mother and dad. Mm-hmm. But he'll do something for every one of us. In fact, you go back all the way back to the Garden of Eden, to the first man and woman. And God put one man and one woman in the garden, and then he gave them a test. Didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do with that test? They pass it or fail it?
Yeah, pretty much like I would have done.
They failed it. Yeah. Yeah. Just like we do today. Yeah. That's right. They failed their test.
Yeah.
And so then he brought the children out of Egypt and showed them awesome signs and miracles, wonders. Did he not?
That's correct.
Awesome. I mean, plagues and you name it, and awesome things when you read those stories. And then you think about they coming up to the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And he opens the sea.
That's right.
And millions of people, not a few hundred, millions of people walked across on dry land, and then they get across on the other side. The enemy pursues them. God lets the enemy come back and it destroys them. And all the time, I used to ask the question, it says here, God hardened Pharaoh's heart so he would do this. And I asked that question in a Baptist church in every Sunday school class I was in when I was a young man going to the Sunday school classes.
Mm-hmm.
That says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What does that mean, teacher? Well, it meant God allowed Pharaoh to harden his heart. I said, that's not what he says. But that, you know, God would never do that. Now I realize he will do that.
Yeah.
He did do that. He said, I did. He took full responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I did that to show my power. He did that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to where you begin to read the scriptures, you begin to see these tests that God tests us with. Now, he tested Bailey and her mom and dad.
Yeah, he did.
He wanted to move them into a new realm of faith. He knew they were Southern Baptists, just like I was. And if he didn't do something, they and their parents and the grandmothers or grandfathers on both sides, he had things he wanted to do with this group of Southern Baptists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if he hadn't have done this to his precious little daughter and granddaughter, they would never have moved into this new realm of where they are today.
That's right.
I mean, I'm going to tell you, God has changed this whole family in the last few months.
Yeah.
And he ain't through with them yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to her mother a while ago, and her mother and, of course, her daddy both. They're hysterical about how much fun this is serving Jesus. They didn't know this Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't know how to pray the prayer of faith. They didn't know how to trust God.
Yeah.
In fact, when they drove all those hours and brought her down there, and she'd been through all these, I didn't know any of these things. I don't know nothing about the people that comes to me. You know, all I know is they bring this precious
little
girl,
and they come to see you.
Sick, and you know, I mean, I pray for people by the hundreds and the thousands all the time. Cheryl and I, you know, as a team, husband and wife, we pray for people everywhere and all over this country, and we see God do awesome things. I mean, awesome things all the time. It's just routine. It's such a world to live in, and you'll have fun in it, Bailey, I guarantee you. And your mom and dad's going to have fun in this world, too, because they're going to start praying for people in faith like they've never prayed before.
She has already prayed for someone.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. Mm-hmm. And in fact, tell us about the little girl that had the same problem you had. Where was she from, California or something?
She was from Nebraska, but she was in California getting treatment.
Did you know her?
Or... There was a Yahoo group that we joined while I was sick, and it was for mothers who had daughters that were going through the same thing. And we met her through that, her and her mom. And so we became friends while we were sick, and we're spiritual supports for each other. And it was very nice to have her while I was sick. But after I was healed, I had given my testimony at my church that night. And afterwards, we prayed for her as a group. And when we got done, I knew that I still had to pray for her, that my time was not done to pray for her. I just couldn't get my mind off of that. And I went and I was just like, God, I know it says in your word that you're a healing God. And I just went on and prayed for her. And she called me about 20 minutes and she just said, Bailey, it's gone. It's all gone and I'm healed. And
oh, praise God. Praise God.
Ooh, you talk about a fireball here now, see, for God.
Yes. Tell them how many people came to Christ the first time you gave your testimony at your church.
One of the first time, yes. Around 10, 15 people did, so it's just amazing how if you...
And they were all young people, right? Young
yes,
ladies?
Yes.
See, she gave her a testimony about her healing. And what kind of a church was that in, baby?
It was an Assembly of God church.
Okay, she gave her...
Boy, that's a miracle right there.
Yeah, that's right. Southern Baptists get to talking in an Assembly of God. But I've seen God do that miracle in my life many times, you know. So. But a Southern Baptist girl gets to give her testimony in an Assembly of God church and talk about the healing power of Jesus, and 10 or 15 young people come to Christ that night.
Yeah.
Because he becomes real. When this little girl's been sick for several months, and like you heard her say, home, in bed, oxygen, I mean, knees locking up on her, all the things that was going wrong with her body, and she was not scared. She was terrified.
Can I ask you a question? In our last exciting episode, you were talking about you had gone from healthy kid, a healthy young woman. All of a sudden, you go overseas, you come back. It's not even, what, 3, 4, 5 months later, and you're on the very edge of being a bubble boy, a bubble girl, living in a bubble, just totally out of it all the time. So what happened then?
Well, what do you...
Yeah, I mean, you were at the hospital and stuff with your mom, and, and this guy, possibly an angel, don't know, he comes in and tells your dad to go see this guy he's never even heard of, and then you all just pack up and you drive all the way to Fort Worth, basically, Dallas, actually.
Actually, to Brenham. They're close to Houston.
Yes.
They didn't come. It would have been a closer trip. You know, it would have been closer for them to have come to Justin, but that wasn't where God wanted them to come. Mm-mm. He wanted them to come to Brenham.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. That's almost to Houston. You know, that's way down
there. That's way.
That's way down there, Brenham, Texas. And of course, there was a man. He comes to several of my healing schools. He's a couple of years older than me. He's about 73. And when I first met him, he had been a businessman, loved God with all his heart, and goes to church most of the time. And he had got into something there that caused some kind of a little test in his life. And when you're 72 or 73 years old and all of a sudden you have excruciating chest pains, that'll get your attention. Mm-hmm. What does the average man think when he gets pains in his chest?
Heart attack.
Of course. That's what we say. And we say that with our mouth. You know, and so this man goes to the doctor and they run some tests on him, everything, couldn't find nothing wrong with him. Mm-hmm. But they give him some of these drugs as a precautionary. Uh-huh. And he took three of them, three pills. Mm-hmm. And he had something beyond his wildest dreams. He is out there in La La Land. I mean, he's got a real problem now. He didn't have one before he took this drug. Mm-hmm. But after that, and he had to go back to the doctor, and they wanted to give him some more drugs, and they did finally give him something, give him a bottle of pills this tall that cost $1,800. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he brought those to me, Justin. He says, what do I do with these pills? Do I take them or do I not take them? I said, well, it depends on whether you want to live or die. Mm-hmm. He said, well, I want to live. I said, then you throw them suckers away. And you trust God.
Yes.
And so he did. He threw them things away. And he trusted God and he repented of his sin. I prayed for him, been totally healed ever since. That man is the man that set up this meeting.
Yes.
That's how come we had that at Brenham. So he had a whole lot to do with your healing, uh-huh. See, we don't know how God's doing all these things, do we? But he brought Bailey and her mom and dad 10 hours down there. And then they diligently stayed. I mean, it takes a dedicated Christian. I'm not going to say Southern Baptist. It takes a dedicated Christian to come to a healing school and sit there for 5 hours and listen to me teach God's Word.
Yeah. And then another 5 hours to get be the last one in line.
That's right. 10:30 that night before I got to pray for them. Now, at 10:30 that night, of course, here's the thing. You know, whenever the mom and dad call, or maybe it's the mother, I don't know which one it was, but one of them called the ministry center at somebody. There was somebody in Hobbs that knew us and had given them some of our CDs or something. And they finally called us. And, of course, my ministry people have been trained that there's always a sin. Mm-hmm. We have to deal with the sin before we pray for you. That's why we have such great results of getting people healed.
Sure.
Well, now, the average person, including the Waldrops, I really think, and we'll talk to Mr. and Mrs. a little later, but I really believe Mrs., maybe Mrs. and Mr. were both offended at the fact that we got sin in our life. We're good Christians. We go to church. Well, then what is their sin? Well, I'm going to tell you what it was. As a man of God and a woman of God with a little daughter, who are you supposed to trust? God or the doctor? See, there's several scriptures in the Word of God that says, in fact, there was a king one time, he says, you know, go over and ask if I'm going to live or die. And it wasn't God, it was the doctor. And the Lord sent the prophet and said, go ask that man that's going over to ask that doctor if he's going to live or die. Ask him, is there not a God in Israel? Is there not a healing God in Israel? He said, because he required knowledge from the doctor instead of coming to me, tell him he's going to die. And the man died. See, when I read scriptures like that, I think it offends God when I don't trust him. And so, I don't want to offend him. I do not want to offend God. Now, what I'm talking about right now is hard for the average person to swallow. They just don't want to go there. It's difficult. They don't know this God like I know this God, because I've studied his word thousands of hours. Well, you're supposed to trust God. And they didn't. When I asked this young lady down there when she come to Brenham, I said, now, first of all, I want everybody that's listening to this set tonight, I want them to pay close attention to what I'm fixing to say. If you're a young woman and you don't want to have cervical cancer, you keep yourself sexually clean and pure all of your life till you marry the man God sent you. And I guarantee you won't never have cervical cancer. Cervical cancer, the reason we have so much cervical cancer today is because we have so many young girls and young boys promiscuous that are out there having sex out of wedlock. God said in his word, under the law, if you have sex with a man or a woman out of wedlock, you are both to be stoned until dead. Did he not say that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, he doesn't like it any less today than he didn't like it then. But today, instead of stoning people, he's still chastising them. And so, here's a little girl that was not sexually prostitute. You know, she didn't go out and mess around. She was a pure, clean girl. Well, by being a pure, clean girl, now this is where mom and daddy failed their test. When the doctor says, we need to give her this series of shots to protect her from cervical cancer. Now see, at this point, Daddy, he's the main critter in the family. He's the one God holds accountable. Daddy should have rose up and said, no, my daughter is a clean, pure virgin. She's not going to ever be sexually active till she gets married. We're going to pray for her. She has agreed with us that she will not, you know, be sexually active under no conditions. She's going to keep herself clean and pure. And so we don't need that shot. Now then, if she'd have never had that shot, she'd have never had all these problems. But again, the test would have never been there. And if he had done that, I believe with all my heart, God has said, well, my son is where I want him to be.
He's going to trust me. See, he sent a test.
Mm-hmm.
But Daddy failed it. He failed it because he let his daughter have one shot, two shots, and three shots. And God said, that's enough. My clean, pure little daughter, she don't need them shots. I ain't gonna take her. I ain't gonna let her have another. I'm gonna test her. I'm gonna put this family to the test. I'm gonna put her on her knees. I'm gonna have a reaction to this thing. And she's gonna be so sick that I'm going to demand that they find a healing minister to change their life forever. Mm-hmm. Now, when a mother and dad have a little precious daughter like this and she's sick, they'll do anything to get her healed. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a Baptist and they say you need to take her to a healing school.
You know, in the state of Texas.
And look at all the good that came out of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Jeff. These trials and tests God puts before us. I mean, you know, we don't see this, but just think of when God almost killed my granddaughter and almost killed little Kelly. Of course, he did kill my wife and daughter. You know, I lost them in 2001, my first wife, and my 24-year-old daughter. Now, some people say, you know, God would never do a thing like that. Oh, yes, he will. He will do whatever he wants to do to glorify himself. If he wants to take my wife and my daughter out to glorify himself, he knew where he'd trained me, and he knew he wanted to put me in Cook's Medical Center for 30 days. He put little Kelly Ringstaff in there, and Kelly, which had all kinds of head damage, mm-hmm. and her pelvics, little pelvics were crushed, and the doctor said, if she lives, she'll have brain damage, and it'll be 2.5 to 3 months minimum before she can start walking with a walker again. Mm-hmm. And I said, no. I quoted John 16:23-24. Two of those awesome promises in God's Word that He promises to do anything I ask Him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, it's a blank check.
Yep.
And I asked that promise, asked the Lord to heal that little girl, do a supernatural miracle. And then I turned to all those doctors and nurses in that room and said, I guarantee my Jesus will do a supernatural healing on this little girl, and she'll be out of here, nothing flat, and He'll do it so wonderfully that all of you will have to know that only He could have done it. And everybody in that hospital thought I was completely crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Bailey, is he crazy?
No.
If I am, you love crazy men, right, Bailey?
Yes, he does.
I mean, when you get healed like she got healed, I mean, you know, I just happened to be the one to get to pray the prayer of faith for her.
Amen.
God could have used anybody.
No,
yeah.
No.
He could have used anybody He wanted to, but He wanted to use me.
Yeah.
That's why He had her mom and dad drive her 10 hours to come to one of my meetings. Because He knew what He would do. And He knew that later, this precious daughter and her mother and dad and all her grandparents would be sitting here right here in the studio today, and we would be sitting here on television worldwide telling what He done for this precious little girl, and that no little girl needs the cervical cancer shots.
That's right.
All they need to do is stop having sex.
Amen.
No sex. Zero.
That's right.
God said in His Word over and over in the New Covenant, my children, if you're a child of God, you're a believer in Jesus, He said there is to be absolutely no sexual immorality among my children. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. What is it we don't understand about? No.
No.
None. Mm-hmm. No. You shall not. Mm-hmm. We just, because we don't believe there'll be repercussions. But there are. Because that's why all these young girls that have cervical cancer, and usually they don't have it till they're 20 or 30, you know, they don't have it. It's many years later. Mm-hmm. And so, but this shot has killed, like Bailey said a while ago, about 40 young girls. Mm-hmm. Killed them.
It made life pretty miserable for all.
It made life miserable for, I think a few thousand.
She said 15,000.
15,000?
15,000 young women had some kind of reaction. Mm-hmm. And did you know a bunch of those young girls are still sick and afflicted today?
Mm-hmm. And they wanted to pass this in the state of Texas, girls from 12
mandatory.
Years.
Mandatory.
Yeah. But I think there was an uproar and they didn't get it passed.
Yes.
I don't know about New Mexico, but, you know.
12 years up, they need to give them this shot so they won't have cervical cancer. Let me tell you, folks, if you don't want your daughters to have cervical cancer, show them in God's Word. I mean, get in God's Word and show them you keep yourself clean and pure. God demands it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't obey Him,
that's right.
He's going to make you sick. And so that's where people have a problem. God would never make me sick. Mm. Let me tell you,
I'll tell you what, he'll do more than make you sick. I can go back to this. I think about this story often. A few years ago, there was a 16-year-old young woman, just a year older than this girl right here. You're 15, right, Bailey?
Yes.
Okay. This little girl was 16, and she met some young boy. And he wasn't a Christian. Now, she was a Christian. She went to church where I went to church, Baptist church. Her mom and dad was in my Sunday school class. She met this young boy. He was about 20, and it wasn't long that he enticed her to move in with him. Mm. And so she did.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took up housekeeping as man and wife, but they ain't married. Well, now her daddy tried to talk to her. She wouldn't listen. So her daddy came to me and said, Thurman, will you go talk to her? I went and talked to her and the young men both. I tried to get the young man to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Nope, he don't want nothing to do with Jesus. He don't want nothing to do with religious stuff. He just don't believe in it. So I said, honey, you're a Christian. Yes. I said, now if you're a daughter of the King, God told us clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 6 that if you defile your body with sexual immorality,
your temple,
He, God, will destroy your body.
Yes, your temple.
She said, I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that at all. God would never do that to me. I said, honey, He put it in that book. He will do it. And I said, He's merciful, and He's going to give you time to repent. He always does. But I said, you repent, come home, make God a promise you won't do it anymore. I guarantee He'll heal you. And I mean, He'll set you free. She wasn't sick at this point. No, she wouldn't believe it. So it wasn't long, you know, young girl and young boy living together. She got pregnant. And she had a normal baby boy. This child was not afflicted any way that I could see. And her daddy wanted me to go talk to her again. Well, I went. She still wouldn't believe it. Well, by the time she was 21 years old, she'd had 3 children and not married. And I went at least 2 or 3 times and told her the same thing every time. And she kept saying, Mr. Scrivener, Jesus would never hurt me. He loves me. I said, honey, He'll kill you. He promised it, and He has no favorites. But she just couldn't go there with me. She had that third baby. And her and the 3 children all appeared to be normal. Now, in these kind of incidents, we find lots of children physically and mentally handicapped. Mm-hmm. Lots of them, because they're born in sin. But this one, all her children appeared to be normal. But when that third baby was 1 month old, her and that baby and that boy went to bed together one night, and she's 21 years old, and she's perfectly healthy. And the next morning, the boy woke up, and the baby woke up, and that girl was hard, stiff, stone dead with a massive heart attack in the middle of the night, 21 years old.
Wow.
I told her. And she didn't believe it. God gave her from 16 to 21 to repent, and she would not, so He killed her. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, God would never do that. He said He will do that in His Word. Mm-hmm. And if He said it, He'll do it.
Yeah, He will.
And that's what we don't believe God.
We have no fear of God.
We have no fear of God. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And just like Bailey said a while ago, she feared her dad and mom.
Yeah.
Because obviously daddy carried a big stick. And she didn't like that big stick on her backside.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do right after you got well, what'd you do? What's the first thing you did?
I went and ate normal food. Yes. I was on a real strict diet when I was sick, so I went and ate normal food, and then I got home and I played golf the next day for about 4 hours. And
with your dad?
Yes, with my dad, and just got to enjoy life again.
Your healing was instantaneous.
Yes, yes.
Wow. Supernatural miracle.
Now that's what we call an awesome God, right?
We love it.
Absolutely.
That's the kind I love to see Him do.
Uh-huh. Are you going to tell us about that when her parents come on, when the Walsrips come on?
Do what?
Are you going to tell us about that particular healing? We still haven't heard that. The story, we keep leaving off right there at 11:30 at night. Yeah.
Yeah, at 10:30 at night, this couple that I'd never seen before in my life comes up with a sick little girl.
And she had great tennis shoes. I loved her tennis shoes.
You might know a woman, but notice your shoes.
She did. She had the cutest tennis shoes. I just loved them.
I get so tickled at my wife. She says, you know that man or that woman, whatever, mm-hmm. that you prayed for, mm-hmm. that had the glasses, the brown glasses with the red shirt on? Mm-hmm. I said, no, honey, I don't remember a man with a brown glasses and a red shirt. Oh, and he had pink tennis shoes on, too. You don't remember?
I would remember that.
No, I mean this is, I don't
this
remember this.
This is a defining feature as there is.
It's amazing. There'll be somebody coming down the aisle. She said, you see that man coming down the aisle right there? 3 years ago, you prayed for him for this. He had this.
Wow,
and
what a helpmate.
What? I don't ever remember seeing him before. She said, oh, yeah, you don't remember? God has given her a supernatural ability to remember these things. Mm. And then, of course, this is something that before God brought Cheryl into my life supernaturally. You know, it was absolutely a supernatural thing. You know, I wasn't looking for no wife, and she wasn't looking for no husband. And God brought me and her together, and he gave her a dream in the middle of the night and me a vision the same day, the next morning, and told us both we were going to get married to each other. And then from that dream and that vision, I asked this woman that I'd never held her hand before in her life over a cup of tea that night if she would marry me, and she accepted. Why did she accept? Because she had the dream from God, and God told her I was going to be her husband. Mm-hmm. Why would I be so bold and ask a beautiful woman to marry me that I'd never even held her hand expecting she was going to do it, except God told me she was going to be my wife? Yeah. And so when God tells you, you know, and that's what you do. And if every young man and young woman would do that, would wait on God, make God a promise. God, I'll keep myself clean and pure for the clean and pure young man you're going to bring to me someday.
Amen.
The husband that's going to be the dream of my life.
Amen.
And I'm going to be the dream of his life.
Amen.
And we're going to be perfect in everything.
Yes.
And I will wait for you to bring me that man. Mm-hmm. I won't go out and date. I won't go out and shop. I'll just wait for you to bring him to me. Mm-hmm. And if you do, he'll bring you the right one.
Yes, he will. I had quit dating. I hadn't been married in 24 years. I said, that's it. I'm not dating anymore. And I said, there weren't any good men left. But there really weren't. I just hadn't found them.
Yeah.
So God had to send him.
That's after a woman. And what really gets me, so many women in church. I said, well, you know, why don't you ask God to give you one of these great men? There ain't no good men left. I said, but these guys are Christian guys. Oh, no, no. I went with a few Christian guys. They're just like the men of the world.
A lot of them are. Mm-hmm.
And some of them even worse. Mm-hmm. And so they're not interested in anything but sex. They don't want nothing else. They don't care about who I am, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, wow, what a story for us as Christian men, you know, and Christian women.
Not a good referral.
It's not. It's really not. But that night, whenever that Saturday night, that
family with the gray tennis shoes comes down the hall.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I know Cheryl remembered that. I didn't remember that. But I remembered this little girl, you know, and
she's
this mom
15.
And dad.
She's not little.
Well, yeah, she's, I mean, when you're my age, she's a little girl. You know, praise God. A beautiful little 15-year-old girl. Okay.
She's a teenager.
A teenager, yeah.
Young woman.
And I prayed for many of those. Mm-hmm. But they brought this precious little girl down. She's sick. And, of course, that's my business, you know, is to get the sick healed.
Amen.
That's what God's given me the gift to do. And, of course, I presented the family with, we got to find the sin. What is the sin? And, of course, they just couldn't hardly go there with me. I mean, you know, sin? This couldn't happen. I said, well, number one, you're supposed to trust God.
Yes.
You know, and I said, y'all didn't trust God. I said, this little daughter of yours, she's not a promiscuous little girl. You know, she loves God. She's kept herself clean and pure. Yes. And so y'all went over the deep end and let them give her these shots when you should have said, no. I mean, we're Christians. And by the time a man gets to Mr. Waldorf's age as a pastor, I mean, as a deacon in a Baptist church, I was one of those. God expected me to know a whole lot more than I did, and I didn't know it. Why? I spent too much time studying books of the world. Mm-hmm. How to be a good engineer, how to be a good airline pilot, how to do all these things that I could have done it on a lot less study, but instead of studying the Word of God, if I didn't have anything else to do at night, instead of sitting down studying God's Word, I'd turn that crazy, stupid television on and watch some secular television for 2 or 3 or 4 hours. And there was never anything that glorified God on that. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Now, later in life, I finally found out about Christian television, and I began to be blessed because I found out, wow, there is some good TV after all, some good Christian television. But we found out that their sin was they didn't trust God.
Mm-hmm. They were in fear.
And so they wanted their baby healed.
Right.
And so both Becky and Kent, Mr. and Ms. Walter, her mom and dad, they were very quick to repent for that sin.
Yes, they were.
I mean, there's no, we'll do mm-hmm. anything to mm-hmm. see our baby get healed. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything.
Yeah, well, I can just imagine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it don't make any difference now. You know, if that's what it takes, we're willing to say we're sinners.
Yeah.
We've missed a mark with God.
Yes.
And we want him to forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
And the king says, okay, that's all I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I recently just prayed a simple little prayer for this girl. And bam, the king healed her.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She left there that night healed.
And
went and eat something.
Yes.
She couldn't eat before.
Yeah.
And then I guess the next day, did y'all stay there that night or did y'all drive home that night?
We drove about halfway and stayed the night in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And then got up the next day and went on back to Hobbs, New Mexico.
Yes.
And then Monday morning, you heard her testimony. She's on the golf course with her daddy playing golf for 4 hours. A girl that was on oxygen in bed.
Right. Uh-huh.
I mean, would you say that's an instantaneous miracle
that's
God did for her?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He did this for her. And then to think about what he did, and then I will have to say, this just like myself, when I was a normal Southern Baptist, and God spoke to me in front of Ed Brock's room that night and told me to tell him to call the men of the church, he'd pray over him. I had never prayed a prayer of healing for nobody in 1986.
I mean, need healing.
Mm-hmm. Never seen it. 1986. That hadn't been long ago, has it?
Wasn't that
not
far.
Really.
Only 20-something years mm-hmm. ago, 23 years ago. And that little ordeal with me and God, and I finally got Ed to believe God's word, I think about what Becky, or not Becky, but
Bailey
said a while ago about this man coming and said, you need to go see this man. I don't know who the man was, but they went because they had a desperate need. You know, a lot of people do this. Mm-hmm. You know, they would never,
yeah.
if they're able to walk, they would never go to, I mean, it's unfortunate that it's not just Baptists, it's the church. Mm-hmm. We won't go to a healing ministry because we don't believe God does these things anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But he does do these things.
Yes, he does.
And he does call out special men, not special, he calls out men and gives them a special gift from him.
Amen.
To be used for his glory. There ain't nothing special about us. We're just a normal human being like everybody else. But God has a plan, just like this little girl. I guarantee you, he has healed her and he has touched her and this family won't never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they ain't never gonna be. This girl and her mom and dad and her grandmas and grandpas are gonna be able to pray their prayer of faith for people they ain't never been able to pray before.
Plus
because
she's
they
speaking.
Now know he's the real healing Jesus. Mm-hmm. They've seen it. He's not just a healing Jesus. He's the miracle working Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get a healing. She got a miracle.
Yes, she did.
Mm.
She got an instantaneous miracle. And I would love to see God do that for everybody. But he does not do that for everybody. But everybody that comes to him does get healed. Just like some people take a long time to get healed. In fact, a man here in the group right now tonight that came out here with me today, Dave Rosenthal, you've met him. Dave, when I met Dave, he was a computer engineer working for Nortel, and he was born with an incurable disease, eczema. He had been to the finest doctor after he went to college, got his degree, engineering degree and everything, and went to work for these people. He had a good benefit plan and everything. And he went to the finest doctors, and ain't no doctor could heal him.
Mm.
No doctor. What he had is incurable until he met me. I met him, and I made a statement. I said, you know, I don't care what you have. I don't care what it is. If you will do what I tell you from God's word, I guarantee the King of the universe will heal anything you've got.
Amen.
And of course, his first reaction is, that man can't guarantee God will do anything. Mm-hmm. But I can.
Yes.
He'll do exactly what he said in his word.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do it. And so they've started, at least I intrigued him enough to start coming to my church.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to my church for a few months, and then he started looking at what I was teaching. He said, you know, I believe God will heal me.
Mm-hmm.
And we prayed the prayer of faith for him, and we prayed the prayer of faith for him lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
But it took 20 months for Dave to get healed.
Mm-hmm.
20 months. But Dave's healed today.
Amen.
And he's been healed for 5 or 6 years. And he loves being healed.
Yes, he does.
Just like you heard Bailey say a while ago, she loves being healed.
Yes, she does.
She loves being able to sit here and breathe with no oxygen mask on and be able to eat anything she wants. Don't you, honey?
Yes, I do.
Of course she does. And your mom and daddy loves it too.
Yes, of course.
No mom and daddy wants their children to be sick.
Mm-mm.
But they didn't understand the sin that had caused it. Now see, we as Christians, not just Baptists, because I was a Baptist 65 years before I became non-denominational, but as Christians, we don't read the Word, and when we read it, we don't believe what it says. But just like Romans 14, Paul is talking about eating. He says, now, anything you do that's not of faith is sin. So I wonder how many times we sin in a day. Do anybody in this group ever sit down to eat anything that you don't bless it before you eat it? If you did, you didn't do it in faith. You sinned.
Mm.
Do you ever drink a glass of water and not say, Lord, thank you for this glass of water?
Frequently.
Yeah, see, you didn't do it in faith. So you sinned. So you see, we have most doors open, don't we?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have sin doors open all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy for us to miss it. If God wasn't merciful and kind and gentle and long-suffering and patient,
yes.
I know, I can't speak for the rest of y'all, but I know one old boy right here that would have been killed a long time ago.
Yeah, all of us.
You know?
Yes.
So we miss it.
Uh-huh.
But he is long-suffering and patient, but he will come to a point, you know, where he's finally going to say, that's enough. You know, you're not progressing the way I want you to progress. You know, I mean, he gave the nation of Israel 40 years in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. He fed them with manna every day. And did they believe him? No.
No.
So every one of those people over 20 years of age died in the wilderness. And he said, none of you shall enter my rest. Mm-hmm. None.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this little girl believed God.
She sure did.
Her mom and dad believed God. And now then, in fact, her mom and dad were, I guess her daddy, being a Southern Baptist deacon, I don't know how he's connected with different churches through friends, relatives, or whatever, but when a miracle like this takes place, it seems to get heard of all throughout.
Yes.
All your friends, right?
Yes.
Mom and dad calls friends here and there and everywhere else, and they're telling this wonderful thing that this healing Jesus did for our precious baby. Mm-hmm. And so that gets to Baptist preachers or Assembly of God preachers, and they ask her to come and give her testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So only a couple of Sundays ago, her mother and dad was asked to come and bring her to give their testimony in a church in Longview, Texas. So they drove from Hobbs, New Mexico, all the way to Longview, Texas. Is that right?
Yes.
And she gave her testimony on Sunday. Now, there was a girl there that had brain cancer. And they talked to her, and she heard her testimony and heard that it was Thurman Scrivener and his ministry that got her healed. And she made a statement, we're going to be over in Rus, Texas for 3 days this week. And so the next day, the girl and her husband with brain cancer came over. The girl had unforgiveness towards somebody else. We got her to repent of her sins and prayed for her, and God healed that woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome.
Because of her testimony.
Yes. How many times have you given your testimony now?
I don't even know. I can't count.
How many churches?
Many times. I don't even know. Just
10, 8, 10, 15 times? Or?
Probably around there, yeah.
Yeah.
And every Sunday, Wednesday.
Has there been like a lot of things happen?
God shows up every time, and every time it's been amazing, and it's so humbling how God can work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been salvations, and there's been all kinds of things, but.
And He will show up every time.
Yes.
That's why He done this for you.
Do you think you have a calling on your life now?
Yes, very much so. I don't know what I'll do with my life, but I know that God has great plans. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it.
I know that too. He has great plans for every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And He has a special something for you. That's why He puts you through this awesome test.
Yes.
That's you know, great. I mean, when He puts us through an awesome test, and then we come through with an awesome testimony, I mean, you'll have to agree that what little I've talked to your grandparents and your mom and dad since your healing, nobody in your family has been the same.
No.
It's touched them all, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I got a feeling it's going to touch maybe tens of thousands of people in the future.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing what God does. Mm-hmm. Who would have ever dreamed he would have taken a Southern Baptist deacon, Sunday Baptist teacher, Sunday school teacher, that just loved him, mm-hmm. had no knowledge of healing, none whatsoever, and began to talk to me audibly mm-hmm. and tell me these things and show me these things and bring me to a point now where that I have had the privilege to pray for people. I have seen hundreds of miracles. I consider this a miracle.
Yes.
This is one of the miracles that I've seen. But I've seen many of these. I mean, hundreds. I've seen some that's so much greater from the secular doctor standpoint. Like the two girls I prayed for up in, I have somewhere close to Chicago. I don't even remember where it was. It's been so many years ago. But two girls walked in to an Assembly of God church that I spoke in that night. And I didn't see God do anything in that church. But the deacon, one of the deacons wanted me to go home with him that night and spend the night with him, so I did. And when I was in his house with his wife and his children, there was two young women about 38 to 40, walked in, and they'd neighbors down the street. And when they walked in, he said, "Thurman, this is Lisa and Ruth." I said, "Oh, okay, how are you girls doing?" I said, "Are you girls Christians?" "Yeah." I said, "Do you go to church?" Ruth said, "Well, not very often. I go once in a while, but not very often." I said, "Lisa, how about you?" "No, I don't ever go." I said, "Would you two girls share with me your medical history?" Mm-hmm. "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you said you're Christians, and you're two disobedient Christians. So I guarantee you got a medical history if you're 40 years old." I said, "This is not normal for that normal person, right?" I mean,
that's
you don't think like that.
Fact, yeah.
The normal person don't think like this.
That's right.
But see, after you walk with God and seen him do what I've seen him do, this is a normal way of life for me. Mm-hmm. I know these two girls has been chastised by God many times, and they don't have a clue who's doing it. Yeah. They just don't know.
They may not even realize they're being chastised tested or anything.
That's right. They do not even know that. Yeah. So Ruth said, "Well, I've just had surgery on my arm. And they had to go in there and put some bolts in it. And it's probably what she had was a torn rotator cuff or something. I don't know what she had. But they went in there and fixed her arm. And I said, "Well, how's your arm?" She said, "Well, I can use it, but it's kind of painful. And I can only raise it about this high." She's as high as I can get it. I said, "How about you, Lisa?" She said, "Well, I've had three surgeries on my back. And they want to do a fourth one. The third time, they put two stainless steel rods in my back." And she said, "I'm always in pain. I have to walk in little short steps, and I can only bend over about 10 degrees. And then it hurts like crazy." I said, "How would you girls like for Jesus to heal you?" "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, if you will repent." I said, "Ruth, we'll start with you." I said, "If you will repent of your sin of not putting God first." Did he say in his word, "You're to put me first and love me and worship me"? Mm-hmm. You know that, don't you? Mm-hmm. Why do we know this and we don't do this? You are a commandment from God. You are to put no other gods before me. You are to love me, worship me, and praise me. And nothing is before me. Mm-hmm. We put everything before mm-hmm. him. You know? And so I said, "If you will repent and tell God you're sorry and that you will love him and you will serve, and you will go to church and you will tithe and you will do all the things God, you will walk in love. You'll love him and love your neighbor as yourself. You promise God you'll do that." I said, "I'll pray for you, and I believe with all my heart he'll heal your arm."
Amen.
Okay. She said, "Lord, I'll do all those things." And I said, "Tell him thank you for forgiving me." She said, "Okay, Lord, thank you for forgiving me." Just quite this simple. I reached over and laid my hand on her arm. And I prayed a prayer like this. "Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take those stainless steel bolts in Ruth's arm and make them flesh and bone. Make her arm normal, where she can raise mm-hmm. it straight up." I said, "Thank you, Lord, it's done." Did Jesus say I could ask for anything?
Yes.
See, we don't believe him. Mm-hmm. We don't believe him. And I said, "Okay, Ruth, it's done. You can lift your arm straight up." "What?" I said, "Sure, go ahead." "Thurman." I said, "No,
go ahead, raise it up. So she starts up easy, expecting it to hurt, uh-huh. and her arm just goes straight up like this. And she's hysterical. She's jumping up and down. See, she was glad to be healed too, baby. She was extreme. And then guess what? I heard this little sound over to the side over there. God, I repent. I repent. Lord, I'll serve you. I love you. You take this pain out of my back, God. I'll do anything. Isn't that amazing? Psalms 119:67 says, after I went astray, I was afflicted.
After I went astray, I was afflicted.
I was afflicted. See, that's what happened to both these girls. They went astray, and God afflicted them, and they didn't have a clue that God was doing it. They just thought their bodies are wearing out. After all, they were old, you know, 35 or 40.
Old,
wore out girls, you know. Isn't that awesome? And we don't know. It's God chastening us. But it is.
Yeah.
And so I go over to Lisa, and I said, so Lisa, you're ready to tell God you'll go to church? She said, oh, God, I'll go to church. I'll do anything you tell me. Lord, you take this pain out of my back. I'll love you and serve you forever. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing how pain can make you repent? Mm-hmm. She was tired of pain. See, this little girl knows, too. She didn't like her pain, and she was terrified. Mm-hmm. I mean, terrified, because she didn't know, tomorrow I wake up, I might be able to
walk. Wake up dead.
That's right. I may not be here.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't know what was going to happen. Her mom and daddy didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's why they were all living on pins and needles.
Yeah, that's right.
And now then, praise God, you know, this little girl's healed, just like these other girls. Well, I went over and laid hands on Lisa, and I put my hand on her back. I said, now, Lord, you've heard your daughter. She's crying out to you. She's repenting of her sins, and she's promising you she'll go to church and love you and serve you and love her neighbor as herself. I said, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, take those two stainless steel rods in Lisa's back and turn them to flesh and bone.
She had the steel rods, or they wanted to put them in?
No, they already had them in there.
Okay.
They were already in her back, and she could bend over maybe 10 degrees. And she took little bitty short steps when she walked, and then she was still in excruciating pain. And she said they wanted, since she had so much pain, they wanted to go back in and do it a fourth time. And she said, I am not going to let them do it again. Every time they do it, my back gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why was her back getting worse? Because she was not serving God. Mm-hmm. She was being tested or chastened or disciplined because of her disobedience as a child of God. Mm-hmm. And so, when I prayed for her, I asked God, isn't he a merciful God? I asked him to turn those stainless steel rods into flesh and bone. And that night, I said, now, Lisa, bend over and touch your toes. And Lisa bent over and touched the floor.
Wow.
Raised back up and started running in place, screaming, God, thank you, Lord. I'll serve you forever.
Yes.
Hey, God knows how to get people's attention.
That's a real miracle.
That's what I call a miracle, too.
A creative
miracle. Absolutely. That's a creative miracle.
It is. It certainly is.
But I've seen him do that. Jeff, I've seen him do that many times.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome times.
Can I ask you a question? I don't know if you want to share this, but we were talking in the hallway whenever it was, sometime today, and there was a case of a little girl that died in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share that?
I'll tell you a little bit about it.
It's a long story.
We still got 30 minutes.
And the lawsuit has to be. He hasn't gone to court yet, and I'm concerned with that.
But just the impact, the potential impact.
I'm just going to tell you a little bit about this, and then we'll go back to Bailey here. But there was a little 11-year-old girl died a year ago, and this has been on NBC or Fox News, you know, because the state is suing the mother and daddy for letting the little girl die.
For not summoning medical
care. See, now your mom and dad took you to doctors. They did everything they knew to do. Well, this mother and dad was a mother and dad of faith. And this little girl got sick, kind of like this little girl did. But they prayed for her. And they was used to praying for their children and seeing God heal them. But this night, the little girl got sicker. And the next afternoon, she did stop breathing and she died. Well, by this, when they called 911, they came and, sure, she's dead. And they said, when did she get sick? They said, well, yesterday. She began to have her symptoms. But they said, why didn't you call us yesterday? Mm-hmm. They said, because we're people of faith and we always pray over our children. Mm-hmm. Well, because of that, the state is suing that family. Mm-hmm.
you know, and wanting maybe to take the rest of their children away from them. I don't know what they're going to do. So the state, I won't even say what state at this point, but because I'm going to be involved in this in the very near future, but this state assigned an attorney this job to fight this case. And he called me. He told the people, he said, the state that we're going to be working with has five of the finest doctors on staff. So he said, I know I can't beat this case in the secular world. So I want to fight it in the spirit world. Now, he's a Catholic. And he even said himself, not even a good one. But it's his words. But he is supposedly a Christian. But he wants to fight this in the faith realm. And so he said, if we just had one man somewhere, any witness that had ever seen God do any kind of a miraculous healing, we would have him as a witness and we'd have a good opportunity to defeat this, saying that God does heal. But he said, I don't know if anybody has ever seen God heal anybody. And this woman said, we know somebody. We listen to his tapes all the time. His name's Thurman Scrivener. Mm-hmm. So the guy said, you reckon he would be a witness? And they said, well, I don't know. We'll call him. So they called me and wanted to know, and I told them, I'll be happy to do it. So the lawyer called me, and I talked to him two different days. And he listened to some of my stuff, and he called me back and he said, you are going to be the number one expert witness in this case. We're going to bring you up to this state in the very near future. And I am only amazed at what God's going to do in that case.
Yes.
I don't know what he's going to do, but the lawyer asked me the question, why do you think this little girl died? They don't have enough faith? I said, well, that could be. But God's a great big God. I said, it could be no faith or not enough. Obviously, they had some faith because they prayed.
Yeah.
And I said, and it could have been sin, but I don't think it was. I said, in this case, I think God took the little girl's life to glorify himself. He said, what do you mean? I said, because he knew he had me. And he knew I'd seen many miracles, so he knew if he killed this little girl. And he moved on the state's heart to sue this family. And he brought me into the middle of this, and I brought maybe dozens of witnesses in that had received a miraculous healing. Hey, this is going to be on the news. This is going to be on CNN. This is going to be on NBC. This is going to be on Fox News. And people are going to say, you mean you've seen God heal people? I said, how many do you want? How many miracles do you want? Let me get this little Bailey up here. Let me let you talk to her. No, we don't believe that. Well, let you talk to her mom and her dad and a few doctors. See, this one's real, but I've got hundreds like this. And then guess what? When they say, are you telling us the truth? You got miraculously healed through prayer? What are you going to tell them?
Yes.
Yes.
Praise God.
Ooh, God did it.
Thank you, Jesus.
You see, and then can you imagine what God could do through this? See, he's God. And you have to think. He says in his word, his ways are not mine and yours. We would never afflict a precious little girl like this to glorify himself. But he glorified himself.
Yes, he did.
This little girl's well, and she is learning how to fight the fight of faith now. She's learning how to pray for people. And only God knows what he's going to use this girl for.
Amen. That's right.
Here she is, 15 years old, already going to mission trips, and now then, she's learned how to pray the prayer of faith.
Yeah.
She's learned, when she said it just kept bothering her that she had to pray for this girl, who do you think that was moving on her heart? The Holy Ghost. And she was listening. And that's how.
Should we go to a song break real quick so we can swap out and get Bailey's parents up here real quick?
We're going to talk.
Okay, let's do that. We'll take one song break and we'll come right back.
Praise the Lord.
Well, welcome back. That was really good.
That was Cheryl and Christy.
Hey,
Christy.
Your beautiful wife and her daughter.
Yeah. Man, so, it's amazing how she can get from here to there so quick.
Yeah. Change of clothes.
Change the outfit and everything. Yeah.
Well, now, we're back. And, of course, this is Thurman Scrivener. And you've brought with us Kent and Becky Waldrop, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah. This lovely couple. This is the dad and the mom of the beautiful little 15-year-old that was sitting here a while ago. You know, this is the Southern Baptist daddy and mama. In fact, tonight, whenever they came down there, and after they came up for prayer at 10:30 at night, Kent He said, well, I understand you were a Southern Baptist. And so he said, I'm a Southern Baptist, so I guess, you know, God can heal even
so
anything.
So this is okay.
Yeah. And so we had a big laugh about this, you know, us being Southern Baptists. But, you know, we can laugh about being Southern Baptists, you know. But God, he don't care whether you're a Southern Baptist or
right.
Northern Baptist or Independent Baptist or Pentecostal or what you are.
That's right.
He's looking for repentance and obedience mm-hmm. and faith.
That's the three keys right there.
Yeah, that's it.
Repentance, obedience, faith.
Yeah.
Or not necessarily
if we
faith,
obey
obedience
him,
and
I mean, all through the scriptures, God clearly says, if you obey me, you know, and if you diligently seek me, then I, God, will take all sickness away from you and your children.
Mm-hmm.
I love that promise. Yeah. So if God said in his word so many times under the law, if you obey me, I'll take all sickness away from you and your children. If your child comes down sick, there's a sin somewhere.
Mm.
See, it just makes,
yeah.
maybe it's my engineering mind, you know, that makes me logically think like this.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, but it works.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
It sure does. And so that night when I got mom and dad, you know, we searched for the sin. What could it be? And we could only figure that it could be that they, since she was a precious little clean, pure girl, she don't need no cervical cancer shots. No girl that keeps herself clean and pure ever needs a cervical cancer shot. I wonder how many of those girls that died or that had those allergic reactions that are still suffering with those today, they didn't need that shot. There could have been some more of those, you know, and who knows? God was moving on somebody's heart to get somebody's attention, and so much of the time we are not listening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Ken and Becky, they're wanting to believe God. And I don't know, Becky, it might have been you. I don't know, when you called our ministry center?
It was Kent.
Oh, it was Kent?
It
okay.
was.
When Kent called the ministry center and we, whoever answered the phone said, you know, well, yes, we'd be happy to pray for your daughter, but we need to get rid of the sin. I think you wasn't ready for that, was you?
No. Did you hang up the phone?
I wanted to. Seriously.
Tell us about it. Tell us about what, well, maybe a lot of people in the audience or the viewing audience, they don't have children, so they don't understand a driving motivator for you doing what, I'm going to ask you some questions here in a minute, but they don't understand what makes you do what you did for your daughter. Mm. Tell us about why did you keep up?
Well, we're Christians and we have faith and the man that came in the store and gave me Thurman's literature, and I went on his website and read some things and saw some things there, and so I called, and I don't remember the lady's name, but I told her what happened, and she said, "You sinned," and I said, "Well, maybe so, but." I wasn't trying to sin here, you know. I was trying to help my daughter.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Well, nonetheless, you sinned." And I said, "All right." And she had me get out my Bible, and we went through some scriptures. And honestly, I was a little taken back. Not a little, a lot taken back by it. So.
Put off a little bit, right?
Because,
yeah, you're sitting there, and they're saying you're a sinner, and you're saying, "Well, wait a minute. I haven't stealed. I hadn't never killed my brother-in-law, and he probably deserved it." You know, a whole bunch of things like that. But it's not that overt, right?
No. It was just after I hung up with her and went home and talked to Becky, my wife, and my daughter Bailey, and we discussed going to see Thurman and Brenham, and. We decided, you know, he had that healing school coming up in a few days, or he had one in about a month. And Becky said, you know, if we really believe God was going to heal our daughter, will we wait a month or we go now? And that's when we decided we'd go now.
Amen. Wise choice, wasn't it?
Yes.
Now, when we look back in the past, Kip, it was definitely a wise choice on your part, right?
Yeah.
This is one time that God blessed them. And this Bailey had something else that I want her daddy to tell about that also God healed. And she had this long before she had the cervical cancer problem. I want him to tell how long she had had this problem.
She was born with severe allergies. She had egg and milk and any dairy product, just about anything. Anything we put in her body, she threw it up. And so we had to learn real quick what we could and couldn't feed her. Hmm. And so that night when we were there, we talked about it after she was healed.
Just as an afterthought, really, because we had gone for the Gardasil.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, right there, since Becky is so up on what happened, I want her to tell the test they had the next morning after she had been prayed for and she'd been healed that night.
This is like a test you're talking about?
Another test. I had warned them how the enemy will put these tests on you. And they were obviously listening. Mm-hmm. Because tell us what happened, Becky.
Well, we stayed the night in a hotel that night, and the next morning, we kind of wanted to test the healing. Yeah. And she'd never been able to drink milk, and so we went down to the little breakfast buffet, and got a carton of milk and took it back up to the room and had her drink it. And she said, I just don't know if my faith is strong enough to drink the milk. She said, I know I was healed from the Gardasil, but the food allergies just take me too far. I don't know that my faith can do that. And I said, well, honey, if you drink the milk, then your faith takes you there. And all you have to do is drink it. And that shows God that you're going to have faith in Him. Because before, if she had done that, we would have to have had an EpiPen or she would have started throwing up, and her throat would close, and she couldn't breathe. Mm. And she said, I don't have an EpiPen with me. And I said, that's the point. We don't have an EpiPen. Yeah. And she drank the milk, and her throat began to itch, and her neck began to turn red. And we quoted scripture, some of the scripture that Thurman had shared the day before, and began to sing a praise and worship song. And I said, you start curling your hair and you act like nothing is happening. And we just continued to sing as a family, and it went away. And she was fine, and we didn't have to have an EpiPen. She didn't throw up, didn't stop breathing. We drove home that day. And that night, it was really special because our family members were there that lived in Hobbs, and a lot of our friends had gathered at our house waiting for us to get home to celebrate with us. And when she walked in the door, it was so special because she just was glowing, and she had been so sick when they had seen her previously. It was just the most special evening. And a lot of her friends were there from the youth group, and they wanted to feed her stuff because they all knew. Yeah, they all knew how sick she had, you know, how she couldn't eat chocolate and pizza and ice cream and all that kind of stuff because of her allergies. And
Tested her too, Becky.
They
see if did. She's really healed.
And they had, I think it was Reese's Pieces. And you know, she had said, I've been healed of my food allergies. And so she couldn't not eat the Reese's Pieces. And so she ate them, and out of the corner of her eye looked at me like, you know, am I going to be okay? But she was. She was fine.
Hallelujah.
And has been fine ever since.
Now, that's a pretty tough test, to have to eat chocolate to prove the power of God.
It was for her.
Yeah. I can imagine. Well, how was it for you all to sit there and know that you have to admit? Because let me look at it this way. I would think a lot of people would say, oh, geez, I have to confess that I'm a sinner in order to get healed. I mean, we don't want to do that. We sure don't want to do that in front of
everybody.
What? How many millions of homes? 200 million homes. We could be watching you tonight. Don't get nervous. 200 million homes could be watching you around the world. And yet you're up here ready to admit that, yeah, you had some sin in your life. It wasn't intentional, but it kept, you know, being... what's the word I'm looking for, Scrivener? Being afflicted yourself is one thing, but man, when it happens to your kids, that just got to pull your heart out between your guts, huh?
You know, Thurman talked about us being Baptist, and as Baptists, we believe so strongly in salvation and the fact that as sinners, Jesus' blood covers us, mm-hmm. and we go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the greater miracle? For Bailey to be healed from Gardasil, or for us to be covered by Jesus' blood and go to heaven?
Yeah, because you can't even see that one, can you?
But as Baptists, we believe that.
Yeah.
So why can't we accept the healing, the physical healing?
Very good point.
We've been trained wrong. The other day I was on an airplane going to Virginia Beach, and there was a young man sitting right to my right, on that seat, and I'm the blank seat here, and I'm sitting over here on the aisle. And we get up, and I get my Bible out, and I start reading. And he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Virginia Beach." And he says, "What do you do?" I said, "Well, I guess you call me an evangelist." Mm-hmm. And he says, "Are you associated with a denomination?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm non-denominational." I said, "I used to be." He said, "You were? What denomination?" I said, "Southern Baptist." He said, "Why did you leave?" I said, "Because they don't believe the word." Mm-hmm. He said, "I'm a Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. I just graduated from seminary, and I'm going to take my first church." And he said, "You just offended me. I believe the whole word of God." I said, "Well, okay, let's find out." I said, "You got your Bible with you?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, open it to Psalms 103. Read. Bless the Lord, O my soul." We went down through those first two verses. "Who forgives all of my iniquities?" I said, "Stop right there. Don't look at that Bible no more. I want you to look right at me." I said, "I don't care. You as a Southern Baptist preacher, I don't care if the worst sinner, drug addict, murderer, rapist, whatever he is, if he comes down that aisle and says, 'God, I ask you to forgive me.'" I said, "Do you believe he'll forgive that wicked guy?" "Absolutely, every time he will." I said, "Okay. I figured you'd believe that." I was a Southern Baptist, and I believed that all my life. But I said, "Now read after he did that, after he come down and you forget, he forgave all of your iniquities. Now you read the next line. 'Who heals all of my diseases.'" I said, "Do you believe he'll heal all your diseases?" "Well, he said he can if he wants to." I said, "No, that's not what he said. He said he will." "Well, you know, but..." I said, "No, see, now that's why I'm not a Baptist anymore, right?" I said, "Son, I'm not here to run you down because you're Southern Baptist, but I said, I'm here to tell you that if you want to go far with God, if he wrote it in that book, you believe it just like he wrote it. If he says, 'I'll do it,'" just like you said, Becky, "why is it we can believe as Southern Baptists that he's so gracious and merciful to forgive us every time?" But yet the same word in Romans 10:8-9 that says that if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, we're saved. The same word "saved" is translated from the Greek word sozo. And the Greek word sozo also means healed. So if I'm willing to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, "The Lord healed me," it's done. And that's what y'all learned at the healing school. And the next morning when you give her the milk, and without the whatever you
EpiPen.
Needed, that whatever that thing was, y'all trusted God, and he was very proud of his children. I mean, he was happy with his son, he was happy with his daughter, and he was happy with his little baby.
Well, let me ask you a question then. As Gwen would used to say, "Well, now, preacher, when she drank the milk, was that not testing God? Or was that testing yourself?" A lot of people would say, "Oh, you're testing God. Never test God. Never put God to the test,
well,
because
the thing
that's
about
a
it
sin."
Is God was testing them. And he does that to us all the time.
All the time.
All the time, yeah. I mean, you know, I think about that little girl that came right here from Midland. We had her on the set here a few months ago. We brought that little girl in here. And she was only 3 or 4. And that little girl had been afflicted with that same thing. Allergies. I mean, you couldn't hardly feed her nothing. I mean, she just like y'all's daughter. You know, just anything. I mean, throat swell up, couldn't breathe, everything. And I guess they had to have that same thing, whatever it was. And so they came to a healing school in Justin on the second Saturday of the month. And I told them, I said, "Daddy and Mama, if you two will repent of your sins," I said, "y'all brought this little girl into the world under a curse." Now, whatever they did, you know, they committed several different little sins, but any one of them could have been the one that brought her under that curse. And so I said, "Y'all repent of those sins." And then I said, "Jesus said in Galatians 3:13-14, that Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law." Well, see, if Jesus redeemed you from the curse, if you know it, you're redeemed. If you don't know it, you're not redeemed. Because you have to apply the Word of God to your life in faith. And they had never done that. So they repented of all their sins. And I prayed for them just like I did their daughter. I said, "Now you can take her and feed her anything you want to and guarantee she can eat anything she wants." And the mother looked over at me and said, "Are you sure?" You can understand that, can't you, Mama? Mm-hmm. "Are you sure?" And I said, "Well, honey, I'm only as sure as God's word." Our faith is not there yet. Like little Bailey's wasn't quite. But praise God for Daddy and Mama. You know, y'all were standing in the gap for that little girl, you know, or you wouldn't give her that milk. You believed God would do what He said.
Yes.
And so y'all were tested that morning, and you did what God said. And He was proud of His children. Mm. He was proud of y'all for what you did, because He's the one who healed her. You know that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't nothing else. But this little girl, I mean, a week later, I told him, I said, "Until you can believe this, it won't work. But when you get it in your spirit that Christ really redeemed you from the curse of the law," I said, "and you feed her anything you want to, it's done. You mean to tell me all I got to do is bring her down here, my husband, and I repent of the sin, you pray one little simple short prayer, mm-hmm. and I can go feed her anything I want to?" That's what I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. When you believe God. Well, they went back to Midland, come back home, and they read those scriptures for a week.
Mm-hmm. Before they were ready to try it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And after a week, Mama and Grandmama were sitting there one morning, and she said, "We're not taking this medicine with us. Mm-hmm. We're going down to Logan's, and we're going to feed her some peanuts." If she had a peanut touch her, she'd swell up and couldn't even breathe. The Grandmama said, a couple of months later, when they come to a healing school, she said, "When we walked into Logan's over all those peanut shells, I walked in and said, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
oh, man, yeah,
we will fear no
evil." Wow. Yeah. Praise God.
See? God tests us, doesn't He?
Yeah.
And they went over and they sat down, and Mama gave their daughter, her daughter, a peanut and said, "Eat it." And 2 months later, when they come back to healing school, that little girl was eating everything she wanted to eat and
Praise
had
God.
No problems. Now then, when we come out here to make the show with her mom and dad, three months ago, the little girl, before they started the filming, the little girl come up and said, "Pastor Thurman, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure, honey." She said, "Every once in a while, my daddy and my mama ask me to do something I don't want to do. Do I have to obey them?" I said, "No, honey, you don't have to." But I said, "Do you like being well?" "Oh, I love being well." I said, "Well, God's word says, children, obey your parents in all things so that your life may be long on the earth." I said, "Now that's a promise from God. If you don't want to live a long, healthy life, go ahead and don't do what mom and daddy says. But if you want a long, healthy life and you enjoy being well," I said, "you enjoy eating peanuts?" "Oh, I love it." I said, "Well, if you want to enjoy that life, you're going to have to obey what daddy says and what mama says." Mm. And that little girl looked over at me and she looked up at mama and she said, "Mom and daddy, I will obey you." Mm. I thought that was the most precious part of the whole thing. We didn't even get that on camera.
Didn't get that on camera. You know?
But see, children don't understand that. They go around calling daddy the old man when they get 15. "He don't know nothing." You know, they've never been taught respect. Mm-hmm. Or they don't respect mother. Mm-hmm. Mama tell them to do something, they don't want to obey mama. And so they don't understand why they get sick and afflicted at 30 or 40 years of age. And why they die at 50. It was because they didn't obey mom and dad. In fact, I've had so many people, I've had men that were directors of Christian camps that have called me, and they were afflicted and had epileptic seizures. Christian men, been to seminary. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, "You got to sin." I said, "Sin, Thurman? I'm a Christian. I've been to seminary." I said, "I don't care. You got to sin. Ask God." What, this one man, he went back and said, "God, what'd I do?" His daddy said, "When you was 15 years old, you asked your daddy if you could go to a rock concert, and he told you no. And you went ahead behind his back, and you went anyway." And he said, "Right after that, that's when I put these seizures on you, and that's why you've been having them." That man repented for that sin and prayed the prayer of faith for himself, and he has never had a seizure to this day.
Wow, wow. Can you address some of those? Those are about forgiveness and things.
Yes.
You struck a nerve with the forgiveness thing.
Well, you got to walk, as a Christian, you have to forgive everybody from your heart if you want to walk in divine health.
Uh-huh.
Now, I see some of these things here, people say, "Well, do I have to associate with these people?" Well, if these people are still meaner than the devil, I would say, no, you don't have to associate with them, you know, but you do have to love them. If you do run into them, you have to love them, you know, be kind and gentle to them, Do not hold a grudge against them, and do not talk about them. You know, don't talk about
Don't
them.
Hold a grudge.
Don't hold a grudge. Yeah. Walk holy, and because it will bring death and destruction upon you. Mm-hmm. I mean, any kind of sin, unforgiveness is probably one of the most devastating sins that we have. You know, it puts people in their death, in their grave.
So sublime.
Yeah. It just kills them. And you think now that Ken and Becky here, the little tiny sin of just not trusting God for their daughter made her deathly sick. But you can bet they'll trust Him from now on. They learn how to pray the prayer of faith now, right?
That's right.
And you're going to trust God. Well, see, that's why He tested you, Ken, to get you to trust Me. That's what He wants His sons to do. Trust Him. And that's what you and you will do from now on, won't you?
I sure hope so.
At least you're going to give it a better shot than you ever did before, right? And when you really get that word in you, you'll do this. But this unforgiveness, yes, people need to forgive. They need to walk in love. If they want to have a life that's free of sickness and disease, you have to forgive everybody. You have to love God first with all your heart, and then you have to love your neighbor as yourself. But no, you do not have to be in their house all the time. If they're, like I say, somebody really offended you, you forgive them, and they're meaner than the devil himself. No, you don't have to go back over there. And if it's a husband that's beat the thunder out of you, hey, yeah, you don't have to live with that guy. I mean, as a woman, God says He called us to peace, not to live in hell on earth. So women that are beat up on by their husbands, God commanded the husband to love his wife. And if he won't, well, then she don't have to stay there. You know, but she does have to forgive him. And she does have to walk in love.